Let's take our Bibles and turn over to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. Good to be in the house of God. Glad you're here. Appreciate the Lord bringing us all together. Joshua chapter 5. We're going to read this whole chapter when you get turned to your place there. Joshua chapter 5. There we go. Joshua chapter 5, verse 1. And it came to pass, and all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them any more, because of the children of Israel. At that time the Lord had said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives, and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the heel of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. Now the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way as they came forth out of Egypt, then they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off of you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal, and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month, at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. As we look in the Word of God this evening, I'm going to talk to you tonight and preach to you out of this chapter on when a sinner gets saved. When a sinner gets saved. As we look into this chapter, we notice that God's Word is very specific. The theme of this chapter obviously is found in the last few verses of meeting the captain. And we're going to identify who this captain is and everything according to the Scriptures. We've got the key verse being the last one we read, which was verse 15, where it talks about the captain of the Lord's hosts. Grade level for this chapter is a 7.9 grade level, so you have to pay extra close attention tonight. Amen. Do you know that the average American reads at about a fifth grade reading level right now? The average American. So this might be a little above most of you, so I want you to stay tuned in, okay? Amen. And as we look at this chapter tonight and we go to the Lord in prayer, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you, God, we thank you, Lord, for letting us be here tonight and be alive. What a great opportunity to come to the house of God and be with the people of God tonight, Lord God, and look at these great things from the Scriptures. We pray, God, that you'd help us and give us understanding according to Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. We plead this promise for us tonight, for all of us, God, that you'd help us to understand better your word. And God, we pray, Lord God, you'd help me to preach tonight according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. To preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And Lord, we love you and thank you for everything you're going to do. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray and for his sake. Amen. As we look tonight about when a sinner is saved, I want you to notice that when a sinner gets saved and before God does a great work, there are some major events that will happen in your life. Number one, if you'll notice this one, some people recognize a change. In verse 1 of your Bibles, the Word of God says this, "And it came to pass, and all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites by the sea," I want you to underline this, "heard that the Lord had." Heard that the Lord had. What did he do? He dried up the waters of Jordan. He said, "before the children of Israel, until we were passed over." They heard the Lord done that. They didn't hear about a landslide done it. They didn't hear about how they walked over on over reeds. They heard that the Lord done it. You say, how come the heathen believed back then, they don't believe now? Because they wasn't that many heathen doing the work of God back then either. People try to explain away the miracles of God since the beginning. But listen, the ones you have the hardest time convincing is the lost people. You say, well, God parted the sea, and they believe it. God did this, God did, they believe it. Show them in the Bible, it's right there, they believe it. But you go to the average, quote, scholar, you know that crowd, that scholar crowd. You go to them and say, well, God did this, well, I don't know what the Greeks say. First thing out of their mouth. Well, we're in the Old Testament. Well, I meant the Hebrew. That's how you can catch them sometimes. But I look at this thing and I see number one event that happens in somebody's life. There is a change. Amen. He said they heard that the Lord had.
Right.
And I notice about this change that they hear about the Lord's work. And when a sinner gets saved, this is a perfect picture of it. Some people recognize a change in you.
Right.
They heard what the Lord had done, then they come around to see it. "I ain't seen you in a while. Where you been?" "Well, you know, I just come around and check on you, see how you was." They want to see if it's true.
Mom.
Are you wearing the Pope's hat now? What is it's going on with you? Are you, listen, have you wearing a cross around your neck? Listen, what did you do? Did you start taking, what? They want to know what it is.
Yeah.
They heard the Lord done it, but they got to come see it for themselves. And the Bible says about this thing that they hear about the Lord's work. I can remember when some of you got saved, some others said about you, they said this, "I'll be surprised if they make it," fill in the blank.
Oh, yeah.
Yet here you are.
Yep.
And then somebody said one time, they said, "Well, they'll make it until such and such transpires." Here you are. I guess all them things coming to pass didn't really reflect what God did. God just kept on doing what he's doing.
Amen.
And see, some people will recognize that change.
Because
there's others, when you came in contact with them, you got around them, they said, "Oh, something's different." And they smiled at you because they had the same difference done in their life. And they was willing to fellowship with you when all your old buddies was putting you out and all your so-called new buddies were skeptical of you.
Right.
They said, "We see a change there. There is a change." Some people recognize a change. And they hear about the Lord's way in something. If you look down there in that verse, it says they heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel. It says, "until we were passed over." See that "we"? See, he said, "until we were passed over." And it says all the stuff there. See, they hear about the Lord's way. When you hear "we were," unlike the Koran, the Book of Mormon, and all these other religious books, the Bible is eyewitness testimony from men's encounters with a living God. John said, "we handled him." Joshua said, "we were passed over." It's an actual testimony account. And that's why you find over in the Psalms, he'll say, "thy testimonies are true," because he's talking about the testimonies of the people on behalf of the inspiration of God, how God brought all that together and shows us how he done all those things.
Yeah.
Or at least tells us he did in some cases. He may not have to explain it to us, but we believe he did anyway.
Sure.
And we see that that shows when somebody sees that, these men that were in fear, these kings, these other nations, that reveals there's two kinds of fear you can have. Number one, there's a criminal's fear. And number two, there's a child's fear. The difference in the two is this. The criminal's fear, he's got a fear of being caught. Kind of like Jesse Jackson talking about Bill Clinton said, we need to pray this for this man. He's in a lot of trouble. Jesse knew a week later that Republicans were going to dime him out. So there was no doubt about that.
Yeah.
So we need to pray for him because we're going to need to pray for me next week. That's the biggest fear they have. The child's fear is not that they're going to get caught. The child's fear is they're going to get punished.
Right.
By somebody that loves them. See, when parents tell their kids, this is going to hurt me a whole lot more than you, sometimes that's true. Sometimes it's true. That's when they whip you, it's true. When they threaten to whip you, it's not. So how do they know the difference? They've been playing you their whole life. They already know the difference. You need to see the difference. But I see this, that the child's fear is a fear of the father. Just like a Christian, we get saved, we don't fear God's going to put us in hell anymore. You see, he wasn't. But we don't go stepping outside the bounds of the will of God because we don't want to see what the chastening hand of God looks like. We'd rather see the loving hand of God.
Right.
And they both grow on the same arm, by the way. As you see these events that happen, there is a change. And also some people receive a circumcision. There is a circumcision that goes when you're saved. He goes down through verses 2 through 9 there and describes the why he circumcised them and how he promised and how that the old generation got set apart and they didn't fulfill what they were supposed to, and God brought up a new generation and all that. But then we see in the Old Testament, when we look at circumcision, it's always physical. Somebody told me one time, said, now you know circumcision is nothing but something that the law says. If that's the case, why didn't God give it to Abraham before the law?
That's right.
That's an interesting question.
Yeah.
It's a physical sign between God and man.
Right.
Ain't that something?
Yeah.
Why tithing ain't nothing but under the law, they say, but then you find in Genesis 22, it was not under the law, or Genesis 28, verse 22, it come before the law.
Yeah.
So I guess we're going to have to stick with the Bible and throw out all these eggheads that think they know something about the Bible. We're going to see what the Bible says.
Yeah.
And we get to the subject of circumcision. He circumcised everybody that came out of Egypt, yet all of them died but two of them. So he gives the command once they cross that next place to circumcise all the males again because right. None of them have been circumcised.
Right.
See, it's a physical sign to a Jew. But in the New Testament, you still get circumcised when you get saved.
Sure.
Here's the funny thing, you women get it too. Mm-hmm. Why don't you take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 2 for just a moment. Hold your place there at Joshua. I got some of you ladies looking up here like, where's the knife at and why are you going to do that to me? And that's just awful. And some of you men are saying, wait a minute, Well, here's the thing. In the Old Testament, if it was done physical, New Testament usually is spiritual most of the time. And the picture of the thing in the Old Testament shows what the thing in the New Testament is by type and by picture there. If you look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, he's talking to the folks that's gotten saved. Verse 10, says, and you are complete in him. So when you got saved, God completed everything that was lacking in you. He says, you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised. It says, with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So I see there's a picture there in the Old Testament where they circumcise. In the New Testament, when you get saved, you get it anyway. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the funny thing. What's getting circumcised? Here it is. Your soul gets cut loose of your body.
Sure.
So what does that matter? Do you realize that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, oh, death, where is thy sting?
Yep.
Do you know where the sting of death is? If you died and went to hell and your body's there and your soul is ripped out of that flesh and put in hell instantly, there's your pain of death right there. You know how we don't have a pain of death? Because when we go, we go.
That's right.
We're not tied to this old body no more.
All right.
We may have an old sin nature in this body. We may have members at war against our flesh.
Right.
And we may have all that, but we have a spiritual circumcision that happens. Once we check out, we're checking out quick.
Amen.
We're not tied to nothing here anymore is what I'm trying to tell you.
And
with that thing being said, in the New Testament, the spiritual circumcision, it goes on and gives another picture in verse 12 about buried with him in baptism. There it says, wherein also you risen with him through faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Those pictures show a thing. It shows the type of Christ and the work Christ has done in somebody's life. You say, I don't know about that spiritual circumcision. I got news for you. When you die and it don't hurt, you come tell me in heaven, you look me up and say, you was right, that didn't hurt.
Amen.
It's right there in the Bible. Back in Joshua chapter 5. Listen, hey, there's a circumcision that goes along with being saved. Well, we're in the book of Acts. They got to fussing all the new converts. They said, well, we're glad you didn't tell them getting in. John might be circumcised too. And that's when Paul wrote this. Said, no, we already circumcised. They already got it. They already got it.
That's right.
Because it's a physical thing in the Old Testament, but it's a spiritual thing in the New.
All right.
And it was a work that was done. Did you see that thing that said it was done without hands? My goodness, how does a doctor operate without hands? I don't know. Ask Dr. Jesus. He might tell you.
That's right.
Because that's the doctor that done the job.
Amen.
But I see all these pictures here and the events of what happened when a sinner gets saved. We see that there's a change. We see there's a circumcision. But then number three, there is this. Some people realize a caring in their life. There is a caring by Almighty God. If you'll notice down in verse number 10, this caring goes like this. He says, and the children of Israel, it says they encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month, even at the plains of Jericho. Passover day has never changed.
Right.
It's 14th day of the first month, right there. The month got changed back over in Exodus. God said, I'll make this the first month.
Yeah.
So we're going to start your year off that on the 14th day of the first month, we're going to do the Passover. When Christ was crucified, I'll give you three guesses what day it was on. Because he is our Passover lamb.
Yep.
He is crucified on the 14th. Now get your calculators out for this one. 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th. I bet if you look up that number 17 in the Bible, you're going to run into a type of Christ in the Old Testament known as Noah's Ark. Remember, it's a type of Christ too. I'll give you three guesses, three. Which day of the month it rested on, and which month it rested on, when it finally come, when the waters finally subsided?
On the
17th. 17 minus 14 is? Let's figure this up. Christ rose the morrow after the Sabbath, just like the Levitical priests would walk out with the sheep offering, right?
Come on.
So that was a Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Jewish days, back them up. Thursdays when he was crucified. So what about Friday and Saturday? John 19, verse 30. Friday was a high Sabbath. It was an extra Sabbath.
That's right.
Now, where them boys is coming up Wednesday, I don't know. But I do know this. When you come to the book, it's too hard to get away from how easy it is to see where it's at.
Yep.
So where'd they get Good Friday from? I don't know. It's not in the Bible. I don't know.
That's right.
I got my suspicions that it came from somewhere.
Yeah. Get it?
Or maybe them old farmers needed something, and they said, listen, if you plant it on Good Friday, it'll come up right, you know, or something. Maybe somebody told them that. I don't know. We believe more stranger things.
Yeah.
Black cats crossing in front of you.
Well.
So what can make a Christian cuss? That right there, because we've been told all our lives that you've got to cuss that cat when he walks out there. That's a true story. That's what everybody says around here. I grew up hearing that. They at least told it down here in our community, didn't they? I mean, we all got told that when we was young. And then when the black cat crossed, if you try to cuss your little kid, guess what you got? The wrath of God Almighty, hip and thigh come behind it. But wait a minute, I was just trying to keep good luck on our side. So I asked my preacher about that. I said, is that in the Bible where you got to cuss a cat? He said, that ain't in the Bible.
Right.
I said, I've got beat for nothing all these times. I just don't get it. I used to be lost. Now listen to me. When we look at this thing, we realize, too, sometimes there's a caring. God cared so much that he's showing you here, 14th day of the month, he did a particular thing because he cares.
Mm-hmm.
It's a type of something coming because he cares. And if you'll notice in verse 11, it says, and they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. I got to studying on parched corn. I found it kind of wonderful. That's the first popcorn we got in the Bible. I don't know. But I sure like to take my mind there a couple of times and think about it, wouldn't you? Can you hear it popping right now in the microwave? We used to do Jiffy Pop back in the old days. Now we got the microwave. They don't even make microwaves without a popcorn button on them no more, thank God. Amen. Listen. I look at that thing and I see this. He said they had at the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes, it says, and parched corn, self same day. And watch the caring God has here. Verse 12, and the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year.
Yeah.
Land flowing to milk and honey, God brought them there, and strangest thing happened for 40 years. They had this manna come down from heaven.
Yeah.
That's what it tastes like. Chicken, of course. I mean, come on.
It's
a holy thing, right? And they could eat of that every day.
Yeah.
Except on Friday, they gathered enough for 2 days. They weren't allowed to pick up the one on Saturday, because if they did that on Sabbath, it violated the law, and that thing would get worms in it.
Right.
You know people still try to do that stuff?
Mm-hmm.
What a crazy thing. This is going to have worms into it. Yeah, but we might need it, you know. But I see a picture there. They didn't have time to plant and stay somewhere and grow stuff in that wilderness. So the caring God just sent them some food. He said, eat that right now. But there's coming a time when you go in the land which floweth with milk and honey, you ain't going to need me to sprinkle it from heaven. It's going to be all around you already on the ground. And I see a picture there. When they needed a miraculous God, and they need His miracles to come in and do something, He cared.
That's right. Yeah.
He cared. When a sinner gets saved, they might need a miracle to get saved.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about a miracle. Listen, some of you rascals, God had to really get to send something your way.
Right.
So I heard a guy say one time, he said, listen, it wasn't so much of a miracle. He said, two guys came by my house. It's a miracle you opened the door.
Come on.
It's a miracle you was at home. It's a miracle they wasn't out watching ball games that day or sitting at the house watching baseball or something. That's a miracle. Speaking about Americans, I mean, I know what we do. I know the other countries don't have a problem. We do. We can't get our priorities in order long enough to take care of something. We're trying to figure out why we can't do it. We ought to be not doing it because we can.
Right.
But I see that it took a miraculous God to work out all the details that day you got saved.
Yeah.
Even if it led up from the shaking of circumstances or whatever, a miraculous God worked behind the scenes and created a miracle just for you.
Right.
That's a caring God.
Indeed.
When they needed something to eat out in the wilderness, listen, hey, you know why the psalmist wrote, I've never seen God's seed begging bread? Because of that little 40-year journey right there.
Yes, sir.
You didn't have to ask for a thing.
Indeed.
In fact, God told me He was going to give it to them before they even thought about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Before they had to worry about whether they were going to get provided for, God already provided for them.
Right.
But then when they got into that land where they're supposed to go, God said, here's one last one. After this, He didn't say He was on your own. He said, here's the other thing I give you.
Yeah.
He gave them both.
Right.
But this one was a miracle. This one was just basic stuff God already done and growed for them.
Right.
Yeah. And when you think about that, when it's time to go on to the next level, God had cared enough that even though there was heathen nations over there, He got them to till the crops till the children come to eat them. Listen, He'll set before your enemies a table there in that wilderness. And then when you get in there and around it, He'll make your cup overflow in front of your enemies. That's the God that cares right there. See, when you get to that next level, you look back and say, that was a miracle. God, wait a minute, this is a miracle too. God did both. I needed that one then, but I need this one now.
Right.
And folks that never go nowhere for God, here's what they do. They want to stay back, first of all, with the leeks and the onions back in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you finally get them out there, they long for that the whole time while food's coming down from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And they raise a bunch of children who realize we've got to look this way for food and are shocked when God cuts it off and He's giving what He said He's going to give them.
Right.
Listen, we need to teach our children God's alive and well.
Amen.
We're not sitting around worried about whether Oprah's going to run in 2020.
Right.
Who cares? Heck, you going to vote for her anyway. That's why they have hidden ballots in this country, so you can vote your conscience, right? You explain to me how Obama got put in twice then. Everybody I know don't like him. Didn't vote for him. Black or white didn't vote for him. So how did he get elected? Listen, there's something you need to understand. That stuff don't faze God.
Right.
In fact, before it ever happens, God's already set it up to happen that way, and He's got it all under control. Here's a funny thing. When you need the miraculous, He's the care of God that gives the miraculous.
Right.
But when you need the provision some other way, He's miraculously got it there for you too.
Right.
And for all this budget goes around saying, oh, the government shut down. Let me ask you something. Let me ask you a serious question. How many of you have really felt the effects of the government shutdown? The answer is zero,
right,
unless you visit a national park.
That's right. That's right.
I heard that you can't get in the Smoky Mountains. I heard that. They got the road blocked off up there. You can't go in. Government shut down. This park up here is closed. I said, well, bless their hearts. Try this out for size. Your military will not get paid while the government shut down.
Right.
Figure this out. Your senators will.
Yeah, really.
So what's God going to do? He ain't worried about that stuff.
Right.
He'll feed them soldiers and he'll get them senators later.
Yep.
Especially if they voted for it when their constituents said, don't do that.
That's right.
Lindsey Graham.
Come on.
Wait a minute. Politics ain't got a room. You shut up, you Democrat. I got the floor right now. Okay?
Come on.
I don't like it when a man says he's something and he's really something else.
That's right.
Now, I am referring to him saying he's Republican and he really is a Democrat at heart and practice.
Yep.
You thought about something else. I was talking about that. But it's probably true about the other two. I don't know. But I do know this. I do know this. When you need the miraculous, God sends the miraculous.
Right.
Then when you get to where it looks like that you got to provide for it, He's already sent the miracle over there, too. It's just a different way of doing it.
Right.
So what does that tell me? That's God that cares.
Indeed.
Do you know that when you were probably, I don't know, I hope when you were 16, 18, or 22, when you got through a college, high school, whatever, that you went and got a job? You know, you got one. You know, there's God did, He cared. He opened up a door for you to get a job.
Yeah.
And it's probably a miracle because when you're 18, you're probably brain dead and nobody wants to hire you.
Damn.
So it's a miracle you got a job.
Come on.
And you got that job and it's like, man, God did this for me. And then you found out you was only making $3.35 an hour and a guy beside you is making $7. And you're like, wait a minute, what happened here? You just said you wanted a job, remember? God said, I'll send you a job. Oh, you want a better job. Well, let me work you on this and get you well equipped to move you to the next level. That's a God that cares.
Right.
See, before he never listen. Before the guy ever gets to be the supervisor, he's got to learn how to do the production job.
Cool.
This ain't like when they bring in the Clemson graduates and say, here, you're going to be over the whole department. They've never worked a day in their life.
Right.
Hello, Milliken.
Right.
Is that right, brother? Testify. They can't see who that is. Ben Atkins on video back there. But it's a true story. All these plants right here do it. Gaffney Manufacturing done it. Spring City Knitting done it. Phoenix, all of them. They did that. We'd be in work one day, and here comes this boy looking like he's fresh out of college, 22 years old. They say, who's this guy? That's your new department manager. What does he do? He don't know. He graduated Clemson Saturday. We hired him Monday. Today's Tuesday. Hey, welcome to your new boss. And your new boss walks to Jesus. What do you do here? And it's always funny. People say, no, we don't do nothing. What do you do here? He didn't know anyway. What's he going to say? Y'all get to work? Well, he don't know what's going on. You don't put a guy in a position like that. That hurts him.
Right.
Because let's say he goes up there and says, well, I'm the boss. I'll turn this valve if I want to. Steam all in his face. That'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So that's why you don't put people over where they're at. But see, here's the thing. You got a God that cares and says, you know what? Before I make you president of the company, I'm going to make you work there first. Because you wouldn't be able to handle it. If I was 22 years old and I took over Walmart, for instance, at 22 years old, they said, you're going to run Walmart. I'd get out there and fire every lawyer out there to start with. You know why? Well, I want my lawyer buddies that I just got out of college to come in there and work. And they wouldn't know how to sue nobody or take lawsuits because they all fresh off the boat, too, like I was. And then for it all, the multi-billion-dollar industry hits the rocks. But God cares, and He don't let you go in and do stupid things like that, does He?
Right.
That place where you boys work at, they didn't go in and say, hey, we're going to make you two got good haircuts. We're going to make you president of the company and vice president. No, they said, here, here's a job. Go work it.
Right.
One day God may open up the door, and instead of providing for you on that end, He may provide for you on that end. So there it is. And you'll say, I figured out how God done this. Now I've seen it. It was in Joshua chapter 5. God cares. See, that part in the Bible is very important right there, because that's where God cut off the manna.
Right.
But he didn't cut off the food.
Right.
He changed one thing to start another new thing. And see, when a sinner gets saved, we realize there's a carrying God that's all for us. There's these events. We see literally there's a change, there's a circumcision, there's a carrying. And number four tonight, some people recognize a captain, because there is a captain. Let's take a look at the captain. When you got saved, here's the exact picture how you got saved. We heard about a man. It says in verse 13, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand." Now here's the part that gets me. "And Joshua went unto him and said, Art thou for us or for our adversaries?" Let me give you a modern picture of this thing. As if a gun's pointed on you, walk up and say, "Are you going to shoot me?" Without drawing a sword. Now the logical mind tells you, if a man's got a sword drawn at you, you don't walk up to him and say, "What you doing that for? You on my side?" Well, if he's pointing it at you, probably not, right? There's something different about this man. And he knew it. And if you meet this man, you know there's something different about him. He ain't like nobody else.
That's right.
So what kind of swords? He still got that sword? He still got that sword drawn pointed at you. You know why? He's also the judge. And while he's got that sword pointing at you, you walk up to him and say, "Are you for me or for my adversaries?" That depends on which team you're on.
Right.
How you recognize this man. If he's the man upstairs, you're probably on the wrong end of that sword. Everybody worships the same God, you're probably on the wrong end of that sword.
Right.
If you think that God is for perversion, you're on the wrong end of that sword.
Right.
But if you take the time and meet this man and let him tell you, you'll find out which side to be on.
Yeah.
See, when we heard about a man growing up. Some of you heard about him in Sunday school. You heard about this man. He was put on this cross and nailed to it, and he got up the third day. You heard about that man. It didn't really hit you who that man was. You got older, you was watching TV, and you saw a TV special. "We found the tomb of Jesus Christ." So I've heard about that man before. And they showed you the statistics. How many people actually believe there was a literal person in history named Jesus Christ? You know most people believe that. They believe that 2,000 years ago there was a man who walked this earth named Jesus Christ. And they will also believe that he was put on a cross. Here's where the separation begins. They do not believe he died for their sins, nor rose from the dead for their sins, because, well, that's just fairy tales, right? I got news for you. God's against fairies, and he says this. He says that you must be born again. Even you fairies must be born again. Ain't going into the kingdom of heaven, all this incorruption, all this other stuff. He says this, "That's my beloved son whom I'm well pleased."
Right.
"It's my son whom I'm raised from the dead that didn't see corruption in hell. That's my son."
Amen.
And then once you start seeing that, then all of a sudden something else happens. That man begins to follow you around, or you think he just started following you around. Then you realize one day that man's been following you all your life. There's nothing that gets escaped his eyes. And you know there's something about that man. You hear the Christians fussing every Easter, "We don't worship a bunny rabbit. Bless God Almighty, we worship the Lord." And you hear that stuff and you think, man, that sounds pretty cool. That sounds tough, you know. Get your tie on, go to Easter Sunday. Yeah! Because you got that rebellious spirit in you, see. He's born with it. And then around Christmas time, you start to figure out something. Something strange in the air. It's always around this time of year. Always centers about a man when he's born. Very big mystery to you because you don't know this man. You hear about a man. But then you meet him as your master. Verse 14 says, "And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And here's the exact reply. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so." Can I point out to you something? When he says over here, when he says, if you look right there, he said, And he said, nay, but as captain. We find out in Hebrews, Jesus is the captain of the Lord's hosts. That ties this verse in with that. This person that shows up here is Jesus Christ, my friend, in what they call a pre-incarnate appearance.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? Let's cut all the technical stuff out. He is alive for he was born.
Right.
Why? He's God.
Amen.
He's God in the flesh. He's the person of Jesus Christ. He's always been here. He was the creator of this universe. And Colossians chapter 1 says he created all things for himself. The Bible tells us plainly who He is. And we get to look at and see something like that. You may tell you what the difference was, why Joshua didn't get his head cut off and why he did believe? That man spoke to him. And when he speaks to you, he changes your life.
Right.
And when he changes your life, you realize you got yourself a new captain when you got saved. He's not like the old captain. The old captain will lie to you. The old captain said, do this and you won't get caught, and you got caught. The old captain say, one won't hurt us and one did hurt you. You turned into 100. But this new captain, he's full of grace and truth.
Yeah.
He's the captain over the Lord's host. And when you get in his army, before anything gets to you, they got to go through that whole army to get to you. And if all that's already happened, you belong to him, God's letting you do that thing. He's testing you out.
Amen.
The captain personally wants to see where you stand.
Yeah.
Do you know it's possible in the military when they got them all stood out there that they'd be a superior officer come out there and point one of them out and say, you, come here. 25 push-ups. You know what that private's got to do? 1, 2, 3. You know, start doing that stuff right then. He's obligated. Why? The captain told him to do it.
Right.
But see, there is other times the captain says, I want you to do me a favor. Instead of you going off on your lead tonight, I want you to drive me and my buddies around town. We want to go see the sights of this town. So for the next 3 hours, you get to be the tour director, driving that big old nice car that you could never afford on your side, and you wonder how he does. So who takes care of that? The captain does.
Right.
When y'all go out to eat with the captain, you know where you set at? Get this one. Get the captain's table.
Yeah.
You folks ever go on them cruises? That's always the best table on the cruise. Captain's table. Listen, when you get hooked up with a captain, you're no longer meeting a man. You've just received a master.
Amen.
When he speaks to you and you respond to him like Joshua did, that's the picture of a sinner getting saved. They've heard about the works of God. They've heard about the way of God. They know there's something special about these people. They know there's a change. But when you meet him. You know, Joshua wasn't there when Moses had that encounter with that burning bush. He just wasn't there. He wasn't born yet. Or probably, you know, I think he wasn't born by that time. But I can just about hear Joshua listen to Moses tell that thing. Yeah, I was out there and this happened. And he said, loose thy shoes, because thou standest on holy ground. And I hear Joshua thinking about that thing, you know. What'd you do, Moses? Well, I took my shoes off, just like he said.
Right.
Why, he went from being a man to a master.
Right.
But before God was ever really going to use Joshua as a leader, you know what he had to do? He had to have a miraculous thing happen to him, and then he had to have a meeting with the captain so they could get both them things together and realize God can still do it again.
Amen.
And you know what God's going to do? He's going to give him something that he never gave Moses. He can give him a city.
Yep.
In the most unusual way. And as we look back on what we've already studied here in Joshua, we found out that God had allowed two spies to go into Jericho and go into the trashiest part of town and got the hiding of all hiding, you know, on top of a roof with stuff over on top of you. And they said, we come back, you just run that scarlet thread out the window. So what is that? That's the sign of the captain.
Well,
so where's that scarlet thread? All the way through the Bible. It starts in Genesis when they sacrificing two animals over there. And it ends over here in Revelation with a name dipped in blood written on his thigh. Listen to me. That's the captain.
Amen.
How does he ride in when he comes back? On the lead horse. That's where the captain is. That's the same captain.
Mm-hmm.
And I see about that thing. He tells Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot.
Mm-hmm.
You see the tears on Joshua's face now. This is the same God Moses talked about. This is the God that's been speaking to me. He's right here.
Yep.
So will God do that for everybody? Not for everybody, but if you need it, He will. Whatever you need, He supplies. You know why? He's in charge of everything. He's the captain. He determines where the supplies go to.
Right.
How many of y'all have watched MASH? I remember MASH. You know, radar answered to a captain over the supplies. That's how they got anything. A captain signed off on it. Ain't that odd? Where'd they get that term from? Why did they say that like that? I guess they learned it from some book that's, nobody reads. Isn't it something how God always has that thing out there? Next time you hear the word captain, I want you to think about your captain. Because there is a captain.
Right.
And listen, when you get saved, you got the best captain you could ever have anywhere.
Right.
Before you go throwing salutes up there, everybody, salute your captain one good time. Before you ever salute Phoebe, salute the captain.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.